everyone, and welcome to a new week here at The Damage Report. I'm John Arola. Francesca Fiorentini, would you like to make it a fantastic Monday?
Woo! Yes, I would. I will buy all of the vowels that are in my name.
There's a few.
There's all the vowels except for Y, which is not actually a vowel. We can talk about it later.
I hear
something. Happy Monday, John.
Happy Monday. Excited to enter this week. The theme of the news, at least so far this week, is man, people are dumb. There's a lot of dumb people and they're saying a lot of things. They really are.
This would be the smart week, you know?
No, that doesn't exist. How was your show this weekend?
Oh, it was great. John Nichols of The Nation came through and he actually changed my mind about the election. And apparently all of the victories that progressives have had that no mainstream outlet is covering. Obviously, like in Boston, like even in, you know, Austin voting to not increase the police force, even where, you know, in Minneapolis, right? Where it was like, yeah, there was no vote to defund the police or to, like, you know, create a different police force, but it got 44% of the vote, which is pretty huge.
After, you know, the entire idea of reforming the police being demonized by virtually every media outlet for like a solid 2 years.
But that's not a storyline. So anyway, yes, listen to the Bituation Room podcast. It really put me in a better mood, honestly, to hear from John, and he's so smart. So
I always feel better when I hear from John. I talk to myself constantly. By the way, though, I do have bad news for you on that little attempt that you made to change the narrative of the elections. Unfortunately, in the same way that moderates losing is the fault of the progressives, progressives winning is the fault of the moderates. So we got to give them the W on this one. So sorry. Anyway, we got a lot that we're going to be talking about through the course of today, including the passage of the infrastructure bill and now the fallout against everyone. So that's going to be fun. We've got a disaster, you know, going on at the Astroworld Festival. We've got Big Bird, maybe not long for this earth. Everybody wants to cancel him. I don't know what he did, but we're going to find out. We got lies about climate change. We got the cringiest billionaire on earth and a lot more besides, including more corruption coming from Big Pharma, who seems like they got their money's worth. So isn't that fun? I like when someone gets a deal and they didn't have to spend much to get what they want. But anyway, as we go through this 90 minutes of news, please don't hesitate to hit the like button, share the stream. That would help us out a lot algorithmically and in other ways. And with that said, Francesca, you ready to talk about this thing?
Yes.
Okay, then let's do it. Just a few days ago, the infrastructure bill passed. Don't get excited, it wasn't the good one. It was the bipartisan bill. And in the end, about 19 members of Congress broke with their respective parties to support the bipartisan infrastructure bill. It passed 228 to 206 with Democrats largely supporting it, although not universally, and Republicans mostly opposed, although not universally. So before we jump into those who bucked their party and the attacks against them, Francesca, I just wanted to give you a chance to opine on where we're at. In the end, after months, they did it. They broke apart the two bills, but we have a promise. So that's as good as gold.
Yeah.
Fool's gold. Anyway, so we got the one. Will we get the other?
Yeah, you know, there's a little IOU written apparently by the moderates, signed in Nancy Pelosi's lipstick, and they're gonna supposedly pass the Build Back Better plan. And look, I think it does suck that the legislation got broken up. And I do think that there is a long road ahead of people like Pelosi and Schumer and Biden who swear, you know, on their freezer full of ice cream that they can definitely get moderates, including Manchin and Sinema in the Senate, on board with a Build Back Better plan. So we shall see. I think progressives have definitely done their part. And even the ones I know we're going to talk about who didn't vote for this bill. But yeah, I mean, I also think that, look, we have to be honest about what's in it and what isn't in it. there's only $555 billion of new spending. It's important. It is doesn't go all the way, let's say, in replacing all lead pipes across the country. But it is a start, but it is definitely not, as the president called it, you know, transformative, once in a lifetime. Everyone will look back on this day. Yeah. Eagles will lay their eggs. Like, that's not what this bill is.
Yeah, if we were hoping for a moonshot, instead they got us to break orbit, but we're just heading towards the sun and it's not looking great at this point. Yeah, no, you're totally right. And so let's just, maybe we'll be wrong. And in 2 weeks' time, they'll vote on the bill, which has already been cut down so much. But anyway, maybe they'll vote on the 1.75 trillion or whatever. I sort of doubt it, because again, what's the leverage now? The like Manchin Sinema didn't give a damn about any of this when there was actual leverage. Now there's absolutely nothing. It didn't have to be this way. They could have tied it together. Or if you're gonna go first on one, Pelosi was saying, well, you know, we can't put up the reconciliation bill because some of the Democrats, I almost called them Republicans. Whoops. Mm-hmm. Some of them might vote against it. Okay, well, the progressives are gonna vote against the other one. We had a deal. It was supposed to be at the same time. Why are you advantaging one side rather than the other? We already know the reason. And I'm glad that some Democrats, members of the squad, voted against it. But at least 20 had said earlier that day that they were going to, from the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and they did not. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. But who did? Well, six Democrats who are part of the squad: Jamal Bowman, Cori Bush, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib voted against Mr. Biden's plan. Over the weekend, you might have seen Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did, I think it was an Instagram live, where she went in detail as to her philosophy, what strategically she was trying to do, what she hopes to see done. So that's good, but understand that the attacks have been coming. Representative Tom Suozzi of New York said, that doesn't make any sense. These are two sides of the same coin. People so far out on the fringe, instead of trying to get stuff done to help people and make people's lives better, that's what people are sick and tired of. They're sick and tired of a few progressives trying to get more. They just want nothing and they want it now. And Francesca, I think you saw this tweet from Amy Siskind, who said, yep, this, half the Republicans from New York voted yes on infrastructure because it helps our state so much. My member of Congress, whose district will see direct benefit, voted no because, well, maybe an appearance on cable TV.
I mean, this threw me for one. I don't know why I followed Amy Siskind, but I definitely unfollowed her after this. And it was very sad to see the pile on of people like, yeah, AOC hates roads. They all hate roads. Like, no, man. And it's really interesting who gets called a fringe or not. If you run cover for insurrectionists on January 6th, if you undermine voting rights, if you make critical race theory the backbone of your campaign, completely made up, based on nothing, you should be listened to. Who's telling your story? How are you actually reaching out to the heart of the, like, you know, the Republicans, which is also the Confederacy, but you know, like, why can't we just reach there? Oh, but if you hold out for actual social programs, if you hold out for the things you promised to deliver on, oh, no. You hold out on wildly popular programs. Yeah, I don't know. You're doing it for the clout. You're doing it to get on cable news, because you know how easy it is for progressives to get on cable news. It's crazy.
Yeah,
like they have them on, like, all the time.
It's totally. They just get so many opportunities. You know, especially if you're in independent progressive news. Anyway, think about how messed up that is. Like it's one thing to just be like, I have no idea why they did it. I mean, they haven't been like yelling from the rooftops for 6 months about what their strategy or their goals are.
Yes.
But I think that female politician just wants more attention. Like the sort of like implicit misogyny there, that she's just an attention whore. No, she's been very clear about what she wants, and what she wants is more of that direct benefit that you say is so great.
Yep.
Anyway, she's continued to try to get through to people, saying things like, she was trying to explain why just doing the bipartisan infrastructure stuff effectively might end up meaning basically nothing in terms of climate change without the Build Back Better as well. I'm not gonna read her whole thing, but she says, BIF and BBB are not written as two distinct bills, but interlocking policy. BIF's climate benefits only unlock if BBB passes. If BBB is gutted or dies, we may have just locked the US emissions and thrown away our biggest chance to combat climate change. Stakes are now higher on BBB passing. Stakes are higher, odds are lower. Amy Siskind apparently doesn't understand what rising sea levels are gonna do to New York City. I've seen some projections, it's not great. But thankfully there is somebody that is trying to fight to stop that sort of thing from happening.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting, right? Because I've seen the argument made, which is like, why are we building so many more roads without necessarily ensuring that they are climate chaos proof? And also, why are we building more roads when we know that roads are where the fossil fuels are? like what about more money into railways? You know, what about more money into whatever else? Little pods, little catapults, really. I mean, there's carbon free, just catapult people to work, I've always said. And then you have just a giant, giant parachutes that catch them. But I do want to say, like, really quickly, that like it's that kind of centrist, moderate, supposedly moderate ideology that says, you know, hey, stay in your lane, don't be fringe, don't you hate the Democrats, you hate Biden's plan, that is so bad faith that progressives are up against all the time. There's that. And then there's something that really stuck out to me in Cenk's conversation with Ro Khanna on Friday, which was that Ro kept on saying, like, I hear you and I hear the progressive frustration. But on the other hand, Manchin and Sinema are very okay with nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he said that multiple times, like, yeah, but Manchin doesn't want anything. He wants zero. He could be perfectly happy just to like go back to his community and literally give them a lump of coal for Christmas in their stocking and be like, yep, that's what, exactly. And that'll be $9.99. So like, that's what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, that's, it sucks, but that's also, I mean, I don't know how many times over the past few months I've said that. And honestly, I always wondered along the way, am I being too reductive? Are there things in the bipartisan bill that they would want? It felt good to have Ro Khanna agree with me there. Now, unfortunately, Ro Khanna is not on the list of people who voted against the passage of the bill.
Yep.
So I like Ro Khanna. Ro has been one of the most communicative progressives in Congress in terms of like being willing to come here and submit himself to harsh questioning. I mean, I think we can all agree that that was an aggressive interview by Cenk Uygur, but I also care a little bit more about the votes, and the vote wasn't there. It wouldn't have changed it, but what are you gonna do? Now, it's not just them that are getting some pushback. Some Republicans actually crossed over and voted for the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is, let's be clear, the bare minimum for it to be called a bipartisan infrastructure bill. So I don't know why this was so shocking to the right, but a few actually did. And again, not shocking because a lot of the money was already allocated. It doesn't involve that much extra money. It doesn't really do anything on the revenue side. So it's not as directly threatening to entrenched economic interests. Also, a lot of the money is going to go towards helping out corporations. Like, that's sort of baked into its DNA. And so in the end, with all of that, you get 13 House Republicans that vote for it. And let's be clear, if not for those 13, it would have actually failed. Now, some people are very angry about that, including Donald Trump, who put out one of his quasi tweets that said, it's longer, I'm not reading the entire thing. He says, how about all those Republican senators that voted thinking that helping Democrats is such a wonderful thing to do, so politically correct? That's not what that means. They just don't get it. Now they'll go for the big kill, getting their second 1.9 trillion, really 5 trillion, approved. Again, with Rhino support, all Republicans who voted for Democrat longevity, what, should be ashamed of themselves, in particular Mitch McConnell. This guy never misses an opportunity to ass all over Mitch McConnell. I don't know what the 5 trillion thing is. I guess 1.9 trillion wasn't impressive enough, so he just made up a bigger number. I wish it was 5 trillion. But they did it to be politically correct. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of everything. Everybody's so stupid.
Wokeness made the wokies were pressured into getting rid of the lead paint. Again, like, if there is any Republican watching, which there probably isn't, but if there are people who have Republicans in their family, please send this clip to them and understand that your former president and the right-wing movement does not care whether you live, die, fall into a pothole forever and ever and ever. They want, they would rather your community crumble. They would rather you get poisoned in if it means that they can score political points against Democrats. And honestly, we say on this show the Democrats don't do that enough, but I'm also not the one to say that, you should hold out forever and ever and ever. If a bill is good, I think, yes, something is better than nothing. But understand that the right wing does not care about that at all. They will, they will stand on your deceased body if it means that they could score a political point and win re-election with it. Doesn't matter.
Jeez. Yeah, it's
they have. They already have. Sorry.
That's true. That's true. And there are a lot of them. It used to be a chicken in every pot. Now it's a pothole everywhere. You can't escape it. Not even chickens can escape it. But anyway, others are targeting these 13 Republicans as well. Matt Gaetz, his ears perked up as soon as he heard the number 13. He tweeted, "I can't believe Republicans just gave the Democrats their socialism bill."
Jesus.
That is deep thoughts with Jack Handy. It's just, he just really cut to the core of that issue. Their socialism bill. It literally gives the money to corporations. It's corporate socialism to some extent. I mean, in terms of benefiting that. They're so stupid. Anyway, to give you an idea of, because I've been really trying to stress how much of everything they say and do and we hear is designed to stop you from ever thinking about the material condition of your life. And why it's not improving and why it's unlikely ever to. He tweeted also, there have been 5 defining votes for Republicans in the 117th Congress. Impeachment, J6 committee, remove MTG, Bannon, Biden's spending bill. Representative John Katko voted against us on all of them. He is the GOP leadership on the Homeland Security Committee with support from leadership. Well, he's leadership, so that doesn't make sense. Anyway, so what are the 5 defining votes? What are the only things that matter? It is, hey, Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government. Let's not have consequences. The J6 committee, which is just, that's the same exact thing. Let's not find out what happened. No consequences. Remove MTG, which is she was saying absolutely insane things. Let's not have any consequences. Bannon didn't comply with the J6 committee. It's literally the same thing as the second thing. And the Biden spending bill, which he is never going to engage on a single actual provision. He is never going to make the case to you why these specific things are bad or why you shouldn't want them. He will just imply in as vague a sense as he is allowed to, and it's the Republican Party, so it's quite vague, that it is bad, that Biden should lose, even if it means that you lose too.
Yeah. Drink out of lead water pipes. What happened in Flint, that's good for us, because we can blame the Democrats. More children with lead poisoning. Let's go. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what they're saying. Socialism bill, my God. Oh, don't you have
so lazy?
Don't you have a few Venmo requests people are reminding you about right now, Matt Gaetz? Remind.
Which is the better point? Is it the I can't believe Republicans just gave the Democrats their socialism bill? It's so lazy. Or Madison Cawthorn, who said, vote for this infrastructure bill and I will primary the hell out of you. But it doesn't even. You're already in Congress. Like you can't, how many of these races are you gonna run in? That you probably can have multiple homes, but it just think about the mileage on your car driving to get elected here and then get elected there. It's too much for any one person.
Wait, does Cawthorn have like a twin, like an exact double?
I don't know. I would not be surprised if there were several of them.
Language is like super ripped from the squad. I'm gonna primary the hell out of you. Like again, it's so sad to see the right actually take the good points from the squad and the left. Mm-hmm. Because the Democrats run from them so much.
Yeah. And look at it. I don't have any problem with him wanting to primary people. I have a problem with literally everything else about him. And his whole, predatory history and everything, and lies about reprehensible things. But what will you primary people for? You're gonna primary them because they voted for this like minimal infrastructure bill. Like this is not the reconciliation one. He's talking about the corporate friendly one.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump had ever actually gotten around to infrastructure week, it would have been different, sure. How different? Like, he talked in detail about fixing roads and bridges and airports and all that. At one point, Hillary Clinton put out a plan for a $250 billion infrastructure bill, and Trump said he would double it. but it's a socialism bill as soon as those same priorities are actually addressed under a moderate Democrat. And you know what? It's even more than socialism. I was gonna say something bad. It doesn't have the effect on them that it used to. So Marjorie Greene tweeted, "These are the 13 Republicans who handed over their voting cards to Nancy Pelosi to pass Joe Biden's communist takeover of America via so-called infrastructure." And she puts all of them. She actually put their phone numbers in a tweet as well. It's a communist takeover. But everything is a communist takeover. The hate crimes bill was a communist takeover, and the COVID aid was a communist takeover. Everything. Man, these communists just don't seem to really stick around after they take over. It's like we're being taken over by just a bunch of fluff. It's like it comes in and then it's gone, and it's ready to come back again. Why does this work? Like, if you're a conservative and you're listening to this, like, you get fired up about it, right? Why? Every single thing the government can do is a communist takeover. Well, then what is a communist takeover? It doesn't seem that bad if it keeps on happening and life goes on. Anyway,
I don't know what their plan, like, I don't know actually, stripped of everything, right? Imagine if the Democrats don't exist. It is an existential question. You know, does Marjorie Taylor Greene exist if no lib is around to dunk on? Like, what is her politics when everything's gone and there's no CrossFit gym for miles and she's just listening to the sound of her own stupid voice ricocheting in her empty brain? Like, what does she want to do? It's very unclear what they want. Like, what is their agenda at all? Build another wall? Build more wall? Is it the wall?
The wall needs walls around it. She actually engaged with a component of the bill to her credit, which most of them will not. She tweeted, 13 Republicans voted with Pelosi to spend $7.5 billion to build EV charging stations all over America to force Americans to drive CCP battery driven cars. China dominates the EV battery market by over 80%, and the US can't even compete with less than 10% market share. Okay, well, I have an idea then. Let's try to compete rather than subsidizing the oil industry, which has been around and profitable for a century. Why don't we subsidize a starting up market to eventually be able to compete with them? Like, they're gonna be building EV chargers in rural areas. LA already has them. We don't desperately need these. This is gonna go in rural areas. And she's saying you shouldn't have that. You shouldn't have a choice. So I know you might have seen a commercial of Ford coming out with their new Lightning, which seems really exciting. It's an EV powered car or Rivian or Tesla or whatever. No, you don't get to drive that because something CCP. Do you like that? Do you feel free because of that? You're not free to choose certain types of cars, not when you live in rural areas.
Very true. The only time Marjorie will like that car is if she can write the word socialism on it and then blow it up in a campaign ad.
That is
what
and
they
the
are
EV
for.
The EV cars are admittedly harder to blow up. So,
yeah, no, but you're right. She's admitting defeat. She is saying, well, China has the market on all this, so that's why we shouldn't even do it. Well, China also has way more high speed rails than we do. So what should we do? Yeah. Just not compete?
Yeah, we don't want to be like taking their thing. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. No, let's see. If you're a conservative and you're watching this, do you find this convincing? Do you think that you should not be able to buy EV cars and drive them in your area to stick it to the CCP? Or Rachel Campos Duffy on Fox said, their interest in passing universal childcare and universal pre-K is just to start indoctrinating our kids sooner. Well, that's scary. I am actually very scared about that. So do you think you should not have universal childcare? Your kids should not have access to affordable preschool just so that you can stick it to the libs? Would you like to have, I don't know, one of the parents needs to stay home, or you get like your back broken and the cost of paying for this just to stick it to them? Do you feel better after that? Because this is what they're selling you. Your life should never improve. It should never be any easier than it is. The American dream is going to stay just that. You will never achieve what your parents were capable of. Your wages will never be as high, and your kids will be even worse off. But you will stick it to the libs. So,
but you know, the CCP is going to be triggered by you and your overworked, underpaid lifestyle with your kids sort of unable to pass their classes because they're like 35 kids to a class. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, but the CCP, Xi Jinping is gonna be mad. He's gonna be so mad.
And that makes me feel better. I'm willing to go medically bankrupt if that's what it takes to see him mad. Anyway, that's what we think about that. Now, we are gonna take a break. We're gonna move back into a lot of other material, including the tragedy at the AstroWorld Festival. That's coming up after this. Anyway, okay, well, with that, we're gonna make a really unfortunate and difficult transition to one of the worst stories today in the news, hopefully for quite some time. Let's jump directly into this video. So what you're seeing there is a part of the crowd chanting "Stop the show." This was, as I'm sure many of you are aware, from back on Friday in Houston, Texas, during Travis Scott's set at the AstroWorld Festival, where things had become incredibly chaotic for a variety of reasons, some of which we're still learning about. And there was a crowd surge that tragically resulted in 8 people dying, hundreds being left injured after being trampled by the crowd. 50,000 people attended. And that's a lot of people, and a lot of damage can be done. Look, I'm gonna keep it real. I'm not that familiar with the festival. I'm not familiar with the history of this particular artist. But from what I have been reading, there has been chaos to varying degrees at other events. In any event, a terrible tragedy, regardless of all of the contributing factors. 8 people between the ages of 14 and 27 were killed. Just terrible. Anyway, apparently Travis Scott, I'm reading, has encouraged fans in the past to bypass security and rush the stage. In the past, that has never resulted in fatalities. We do have a comment though from Trent Clark, Hip Hop DX editor in chief, who says Travis Scott's whole aesthetic is about rebellion. The shows have a lot of raging. With the death of punk rock, hip hop has indeed adopted and patterned the new generation of mosh pits. It's not uncommon to see a lot of crowding and raging or complete wild behavior at a Travis Scott show. Now, a lot of controversy is around many people in the crowd saying that people who should have seen what was going on, who should have expected it, but even if they didn't expect it, should have realized what was happening and tried to stop it from happening, did not at multiple points. We are going to see, as what are surely going to be a number of different, at the very least, civil lawsuits come forward and more footage comes out from this. But Francesca, it's just devastating to think that at something like a concert, so many people would lose their lives and be injured.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting to link the aesthetic, because I feel like it's important for us to de-link the aesthetic of the music to the safety of people's lives, or from the safety of people's lives, that no matter whether one's aesthetic is about rebellion or not, that there should always be a priority for people not being trampled to death. And when they go to a concert, when they pay a lot of money to get into it, it is incumbent upon those concert organizers, whether that's Live Nation or AstroWorld or whatever venue this was, to make sure that there is enough security so that if people do rush the stage, no one is actually going to be hurt or injured. And the other thing about mosh pits is that they're pits. They're not pits, but they're actual places where people who want to rage can essentially safely do that. Not always. I'm not saying there weren't injuries in mosh pits or potentially even death, but there was always a space, versus whether you're like a 15-year-old, you know, Travis Scott fan who was like, well, I want to get close to the stage. Oh, whoops, now I'm being completely squashed and I'm falling and now I'm being trampled. Like that's, yeah, it's apples and oranges. So I don't think we should link the kind of music, the kind of aesthetic, to the safety of concert goers. And it's a tragedy. 8 people, yeah, is so many people to die at a concert.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And look, we have, I saw a few videos going around. There's just absolutely awful video of people like defending what happened, like being like defiant about. There was this guy that crawled up on I think it was on a like a medic's like truck or something like that, and like stopped help from being given to people, and he was like saying that he's being attacked. Like, I don't understand some people in the wake of this horrible tragedy. But in any event, we do have a little bit more productive perspective coming from people like a Houston ICU nurse, Madeline Eskins. She said that once security guards were overwhelmed, she saw how chaotic things were getting. She decided to try to help. She says, I noticed that one guy they were carrying looked real bad, and I stopped him and I said, hey, have you checked the pulse? And the security guard was like, I don't know how. And I said, I'm an ICU nurse, let me help. He said, please check the pulse, and he didn't have a pulse. I said, don't put him down to go get someone else. You need to take him straight to a medical tent. And then another security guard overheard me say that I was an ICU nurse. I said, what can I do to help? He said, please, we need help over here. She explained some of what caused death and horrible injuries. She says, suffocation can lead to cardiac arrest. And they were saying that these individuals were trampled because once you fell in that crowd, it was almost a death sentence. And to your point about the linking, like we've seen, you know, horrible loss of life at sporting events, at religious gatherings. Like when you put this many people together, if you don't have a plan in place to stop this from happening, it can result in loss of life regardless of what the content of the event is.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact layout of this concert, but I do know in a lot of festivals, there's like tons of sort of cordoning off of the crowd, meaning little pockets of the crowd divided by metal dividers. And that's essentially, it is to prevent crowd surge. That's what those things do. And it allows security to more easily access people who might be in need and or medical. And obviously it sucks for concert goers because it's not as like real and rowdy and whatever, but it absolutely saves lives and it prevents something that could have been contained from being more massive and widespread. But clearly there was a lack of security, you know, and I don't know at whose directive that was. We got some like Donald Trump, you know, calling off the National Guard type situation on January 6th here, you know, but like that needs to be investigated. Why wasn't there enough security?
Yeah, in the meantime, Travis Scott has decided to refund the tickets of all those who attended the festival, which I guess is good. I don't know directly what he can do. Seems kind of tangential to the look, sort of scale and nature of the tragedy, but I don't know. Maybe for some it will help. I imagine there's a lot of people who are injured, still recovering. A lot of people are going to have, the trauma of that, the mental trauma of that experience. Maybe refunding the ticket will help a few people. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and also saying, I mean, I think he's come out and said a few things. I haven't been following exactly, but making sure that this doesn't happen again. Where's the guarantee that this
productive.
Is never going to happen again? And the last thing I'll say is, this is like a nightmare scenario. And I know you guys have the video of the woman asking a cameraman for help, but it is incredible. Especially like, I know security, that it was lax, there weren't enough. But also, I think there is something that happens when you have a bunch of kind of bouncers and people who are, you know, essentially paid to like, no matter what somebody asks you, hey, don't let them like go to the bathroom, whatever, don't get them water. These are just kids, they're fine, like whatevs, you know, they're gonna be rowdy and they're whatever. And you dehumanize the concert goers. And I think some of that happened here, and it's such a nightmare that you have to chant and you have to scream and still no one is hearing your cries for help because they ultimately think you're just a bunch of like rabble rousing kids who whatever, you're not really serious. You don't have concerns or needs. You're not thirsty, you're not dying, you're not being trampled. I think there is an element of that as well.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the video, so let's very briefly go to that. So there you see, as was described by Francesca, a woman climbing up to try to get them, to try to reach someone who had some ability to contact those who were running it to get it to stop, pointing out that people were already dead. Apparently that had been missed by effectively everyone involved in the production of the show. And unfortunately not enough was done in time to stop this loss of life.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is I think I believe I've read that woman's account of what happened, the person who got up and asked the camera person for help. And I believe at one point the camera person actually threatened them that they would push them off of the platform if they didn't get down. Jeez. So that's the kind of crass attitude that a lot of these concert goers were greeted with when they had legitimate concerns. And so again, man, like people are not cattle. People are not just gonna be guinea pigs. It is not this is not a byproduct of just going to a music festival. And beyond that, people deserve to have free water and free medical assistance. You shouldn't have to pay, you know, $8 for a bottle of water. Give it out. You know, this is just because you paid or you're a fan and you paid like $180 for a ticket doesn't mean you should be like treated like trash. I don't understand the logic around this. So yeah, utter tragedy, and I hope it is prevented in the future.
Okay, we are going to take our second break. We're gonna be really mixing things up, so stick around, we got a lot more to talk about. Okay, with that, let's mix things up. Let's have a little bit of what passes for fun in American politics as we launch into this video.
Does Rosita have a boo-boo?
Oh, no, Amita, this is from my COVID vaccine. My mommy and my papi took me to get it this morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rosita, that's great. Getting the COVID vaccine is a great way to stay healthy.
See, my mommy and my papi said that it will help keep me, my friends, my neighbors, my abuela, all healthy.
Your parents are absolutely right. You know, COVID vaccines are now available for children 5 years and older. And the more people who get them, the better we're gonna be able to help stop the spread of COVID and keep everyone healthy.
So that was weird. Sanjay Gupta should be talking to mommy and papi and not to little kids on this, what looks like a big pharma commercial on Sesame Street.
Big step
it's
up
so creepy.
Big step up for Sanjay Gupta going from CNN to Sesame Street.
There's a sane, mature media infrastructure there. Concern trolling Sesame Street. But look, Fox and Friends is whining about it. That's true. That's their job. Just whine about whatever productive thing is being done in society. They were hardly the only ones, though. In fact, Big Bird got involved. It wasn't just the smaller Muppets or whatever. Big Bird tweeted, "I got the COVID-19 vaccine today. My wing is feeling a little sore, but it'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me and others healthy." So good to see that Big Bird had the same exact symptoms that I did. But just that tweet was enough to cause the entire infrastructure of the right to descend into frothing from the mouth, gibbering messes. Ted Cruz tweeted, "Government propaganda for your 5-year-old." They would never propagandize to a 5-year-old. Wait, do 5-year-olds have to salute the flag? They do, don't they? Don't they sing a song?
Yeah.
Anyway, Ted Cruz was very excited about being a part of this artificial freakout. He tweeted this video of Big Bird coming over to vaccinate your kids because Ted Cruz is fun, you get it? He posts memes online because he's fun and he gets it and he's with the kids.
Mm-hmm. He eats food through his mouth.
Exactly, he's like the humans.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see, Lisa Booth tweeted brainwashing, I don't know who that is. Brainwashing children who are not at risk from COVID, twisted. Of course, that's not true. They are lesser risk, but still risk and can pass it on to people who are the exact same sort of risk that we're trying to avoid. Cernovich tweeted, "Isn't it illegal to advertise drugs to children?" That's what it's doing. I think those kids are gonna go out and buy those drugs now. Wendy Rogers tweeted, "Big Bird is a communist." I don't know what the link is between those two things, but hey, you gave us the headline for our show. And Viathan tweeted out this photo with, "You better believe it." I'm assuming that's a joke, but I'm more confident that all of our politics are a joke. So anyway, Francesca, what do you think about this? Are you infuriated by this fictional bird's actions?
Yeah, I mean, it is really funny to imagine like what the right is now gonna do with Sesame Street. You know, they're gonna have to boycott it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, they're teaching CRT as well. just because there's diversity around Rosita, who is the cutest Muppet and wasn't a Muppet when I was a kid. And oh my God, she's so cute and I love her. But anyway.
She said abuela and I started bleeding from my ears.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. I immediately got a sunburn. My lack of melanin immediately got burned by her diversity. No, and I'm just like, I just think it's funny. Now I'm like, now I want the all right wing Republican Sesame Street where they're like, hey, you know why Oscar's in a can? Well, that's because that's because he wanted free things for everybody. And he attended one Black Lives Matter march. And that's what happens. All right, now let's go storm the candy shop. I don't know, whatever it's gonna be.
I think that's pretty good.
I love that they're triggered, but it's so dumb. And yet it is important to talk to kids about the vaccine. And you know these guys are not, and they all claim to be family first, right? And yet they're all able to send their kids to private schools. So that's number one. They've had massive access to testing. So if you're wealthy enough, you maybe didn't have to send your kid or your kid didn't have to necessarily school online like many kids who went to public schools. You could test every day. You have small classroom sizes. So that's number one. But number two, those kids also can be vectors for COVID. And I know we're gonna get into some of the lies that they're telling now about how kids can't get or spread COVID, which we know is not true. I know from a personal family experience that is not true.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, we've gone over it so many times. I have a feeling the next time we go over it, it'll finally sink in. Anyway, I just wanna read this comment first from Star and Park Racing, who says Aaron Rodgers gets his information from a big bird named Joe Rogan. I just thought that was funny. Anyway, yes, so they are freaking out because now the kids are gonna go buy vaccines. No, it's to make the kids less scared of getting a shot. You big stupid idiots, you big dumb adult babies. That's all it is. Have you ever watched one of these shows? The kids don't have wallets, okay? They're not driving to Walgreens by themselves. They're scared of needles, okay? Now, here's the difference between kids and the vast majority of the right wingers who bought in this propaganda. Kids can get past their fear rather than just sinking into a self-destructive vortex of your own depths for a year and a half. And why is the right doing this? Because every second that Ted Cruz spends tweeting about Big Bird, Ted Cruz is not tweeting about or expected to tweet about anything that will improve the economic condition of his constituents' lives. Yep. Some conservatives will get fired up about this. Suddenly, Ted Cruz seems cool, but Ted Cruz doesn't give a damn about you. He doesn't want to have to do any job other than sucking up to donors. This is really easy. He doesn't need to poll like focus group, talk to his constituents. He just does a couple of memes or whatever. And you know, your life doesn't improve. And maybe your kid gets sick, or maybe your kid infects Abuela. I don't know, maybe she dies of COVID, but it's fun for him because it makes his job easier. Anyway, really fast. This is, by the way, not even the first time that Big Bird has pushed vaccination back. This is amazing. So thank you to the team for finding this. Back in 1972, there was an episode of Big Bird getting vaccinated. There's this Big Bird holding up Sesame Street child immunization campaign, which looks like it was taken in the 30s and is also a hostage video, but it's been around a while. And what is the cost of all this nonsense of turning an opportunity to get kids comfortable with vaccination into a political talking point to distract your base for a few minutes? Well, as was reported today, the partisan COVID gap is continuing to grow. And you can see here that counties where Trump won at least 60% of the vote have significantly higher deaths per 100,000 people than more split counties, let alone counties that Biden won. Yeah. That is the cost of this nonsense from the right. However many deaths per day that is where you can chalk that up to.
Oh, because they want you to live. I mean, and that's the other thing, they want you to live in fear. Like, now that we have this opportunity to be minimally less fearful with a vaccine, it's like, nope, that's not good enough. Now we have to fear the vaccine because fear sells on the right. And yeah, that's it.
If you, that fear sold, get ready for the next fear, because we saw this tweet from Kermit the Frog where he tweeted, as the weather gets colder, even we cold-blooded amphibians need to bundle up. It's not easy being green, but it's even worse being blue and frozen. Within 24 hours, millions of conservatives will be dying of hypothermia, totally willingly. I'm not gonna bow down to this commie frog. Bring on the winter.
I wonder if Big Bird's going to get the HPV vaccine now.
Oh my God. I wonder if they'll address that.
86% effective, 87. Ladies, get it, men. You can get it too, I think. But I don't know. Maybe that's more like, you know, that's not Sesame Street. That's
true.
That's maybe Sesame, I don't know what.
I don't think we should.
Sesame Alleyway.
Okay, we have very few minutes, so we're gonna jump ahead to this last story.
Go.
And see if we can fit it in here. Okay, let's talk about this. We just experienced COP26, and coming out of it, we're doomed. We're doomed. But there was a little bit of good information, including some reports done by individual countries about what they expect to happen in terms of emissions for their country. And some of the information made it look like it wasn't that bad. Their mitigation efforts seemed like they were working. Well, in some cases that might be true, but an analysis by the Washington Post shows that there's a little bit of funny math going on with some of that. Across the world, many countries significantly underreport their greenhouse gas emissions in their reports to the UN. An examination of 196 country records reveals a giant gap between what nations declare their emissions to be versus the greenhouse gases they are actually sending into the atmosphere. And that can range from 8.5 billion to 13.3 billion tons a year of underreported emissions, which is a significant portion of all we'd need to be doomed climate-wise to begin with. And what does this look like? Well, I'll give you an example. Malaysia released 422 million tons of greenhouse gases in 2016, placing it among the world's top 25 emitters that year. But because Malaysia claims its trees are consuming vast amounts of CO2, its reported emissions to the UN are just 81 million tons, less than those of the small European nation of Belgium. And in some cases, these countries are claiming that their trees absorb many times more than the trees of the next country over. So maybe it's true. And by the way, Malaysia is contributing far less than the United States and other countries like that. We lie as well, but this is a significant problem. If even with this information, we're not doing what we need to do, and the information itself is suspect.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, there is no consequence. So that's the whole thing. Like I've said this many times, just release the monster that lives under the Fukushima Daiichi power plant. Melted power plant on any country that doesn't live up to its emission standards. Just go, rawr, you know, Godzilla this, but we can't, sadly. And you know, this is the flaw in the COP system, which is that it's basically the honor system. And since when do we allow world leaders to use the honor system? It doesn't happen. And the earth, well, the earth votes. It votes with like storm surges and cyclones and you know, what is it? Cold bombs, winter bombs, there's some bomb snap. But I think the real issue around COP and that they still haven't addressed is that there's a disproportionate responsibility on countries that have emitted more historically, like the United States. And that the only way you're gonna get countries to actually comply is if you pay them. You have to pay countries that have rainforest to not chop that rainforest down, because in their right at this point, they're like, but that's our way to development. But creating a monocrop, but you know, polluting, etc., getting rid of this these old growth forests, we can make money off of that, and we can grow our economies off of that. And so that's what has to be done, is understanding that second and third world countries need to straight up get money to protect their environment.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Want to show you one more thing though. You were talking about how the world votes. Well, let's show this graphic of some of the ways it's going to vote in an area maybe near you, including with things like flooding, rising sea levels, hurricanes, heat and drought, wildfires, and sea and glacial ice retreat. It's all over the place and it's all bad. Isn't it fun? Maybe we should do something about this. Anyway, thank you if you're on one of your linear platforms for watching us. If you're on Twitch or YouTube, we do have more coming. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.